Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
First time I seen Mike Tyson in a tunnel.
Yeah.
I remember he came with a silk shirt, crazy diamond chain on, crazy diamond bracelet, crazy diamond ring by himself. And everywhere he moved through the club, and I'm talking about this club, he packed like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere he moved through the club, that shit opened like this. Because they're not, nobody played with Mike. Everybody moved out his way. This when he was the champ for real. Just scooting out the way, like, yo, move out. Yo, move out Mike way, man.
Big rap beef got on at the moment. Mm-hmm. Civil war's broken out.
And bro, do you feel pressure to pick a side?
No, I don't pick sides. I am the side.
All right.
You're a eater if you jump up and just take a side. You on Future now, you on Drake. Like, you don't even know these. Put you in the rap game, fact. So you feel compelled to be like, sit your monkey ass down.
Yeah.
They had a grown rich folks' business.
Hey, no, you challenging me?
You want to go, bro?
I will lie. I lose.
People, what's happening, man? I'm Fred Santana. Welcome to another episode of 90s Baby Show. Yes, it is another Monday. Hope you had a good weekend and a good week coming up. Listen, if your manager is talking shit on this Monday morning, challenge them to a foot race. If they can't beat you, they can't tell you what to do this week. That's the offer that you got to put to them, yeah? You understand? Cool. Let's talk foot races anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
What?
I want to know, yeah? All right, so foot race. You, Fab, Maino, Davies, and I'm gonna throw some London in there with Gigs. Where do you come in that race?
I might think I got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might got that one. And Dave though, Dave got some, he's tall. So
that's what I was thinking. He's got them strides on it. You know what I mean? He's got them long strides.
He's coming last.
Oh, I don't know. Maino might come in last. He's a jokester. He always doing something to disrupt something.
Right. He's going to have them excuses.
He's more likely to try to trip someone up.
Yes, exactly.
That's Maino.
Yeah.
No more. So anyway, like, just with like running and that, you take gym life very seriously.
Yeah.
How did that like all become like an important part of?
I've been in the fitness for a long time. Growing up in a neighborhood, everybody getting locked up, coming home. Showing us how to work out, doing pull-ups in the middle of the park. You know, I got my lady like 20 years ago. She the first person that actually took me to the gym.
Oh, yeah.
And showed me how to work out.
Oh, God.
So I could put some weight on. I was a little slow.
She with them crazy, like, women exercises, or she was like...
No, she was just telling me it's time to put some weight on. I already had the concept of working out, but going to the gym was a different animal. But it grew into a love of mine as a passion. And now it's like, you know, it's part of my daily routine. It's part of my lifestyle.
What, you do it every day? Gym every day?
I wouldn't say every day, but I'm definitely there 5 to 6 days a week. Sometimes I max out and do the whole week, but for most part.
That's crazy. I need to get back into it.
But I've seen you go gym in jeans, though.
Yeah, I go to the gym or whatever. I go in the gym a full tuxedo if I have to.
I gotta get in. That's crazy.
Niggas be there with chains as well. Yeah, everything. First time I saw, I can't remember where I was at like some sort of fancy gym. And then saw a guy like just working out in a Rolex. Like, I'm like, what are you doing with this? This is not even like a comfortable watch to wear in the gym.
I mean, sometimes for me, it don't be on my mind. Working out be on my mind. A lot of times, by the time I'm into it, I realize, damn, I still got my watch on and shit like
that. Yeah, yeah.
I go to work and whatever. I went to the club last night. I wake up with them same clothes and go to the gym and work out in them.
That's good though, because for me, I'm struggling to just get to the gym these days.
That's the hardest part. The hardest part is getting to the gym.
Yeah.
After I got injured.
If I had that attitude, I'd probably get to the gym. But when I'm thinking, I don't even know where my gym top is
you gotta just go what you got.
Yeah.
Ain't no specific outfit.
You gotta keep something in the car.
Something.
Yeah, I keep my gloves in the car.
That's not enough.
I know. But at least they're there, isn't it? Like.
I don't want the fingers cutting up, you know.
Is it calluses or some shit?
Yeah. You know, I got my hands on monkey bars.
Let's take it all the way back to the beginning, man. You didn't grow up in Harlem, or you wasn't born in Harlem.
Right? I actually was born in Harlem. Yeah. I was born in Harlem at a hospital called Flower Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Harlem. A lot of my family's from Harlem. A lot of my family's from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. My mom's mom and my grandmother lived in the Bronx in the beginning in the '80s, and then about 89, I always went to school in Harlem. Mm-hmm. So all through the '80s, I went back and forth to school in Harlem. About 89, I moved to Harlem for the. Completely.
So you had to travel up from the Bronx to Harlem for school.
Well, I had an aunt that lived in Harlem, you know. Uh-huh. She kind of like adopted me for during the school year, so I could stay there. House with my cousin Dave, and we went to the same school, so we would walk to school from my house because it was close. Okay. And sometimes I had to travel from the Bronx. So I learned how to take the train at a young age, like 9 years old. I was taking the train from the Bronx to.
Cool. So was you able to build like a good network on the journey, or like it was like?
It was a learning experience. Mm. Every day I learned something different. Learn how to be tough on them trains.
There's
a lot going on downstairs in them train stations.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for New York, and especially for a kid being so small and navigating through these train stations by myself. You know, it's a lot of people out here that try to take advantage of those situations, and I had to learn a lot of hard lessons the hard way, but it worked out.
I'll never understand that shit, like how people will pick on like little kids going to school and it'll be like way older people. Like,
just let me hold a dollar.
Like, you know, yeah.
See, when you're young, you're naive to a lot of things, so you're not prepared for what older people know.
Mm.
I remember somebody asking me to hold my hat, or can I see the hat? I mean, just being a kid, like, yeah. And I asked my hat back. And he's like, yo, you're just saying, this is my hat.
Yeah. I'm always confused. Like,
but that was a lesson for me. So I never let anybody hold anything else from me. Like,
you
got to take it from me now.
Yeah. I never understood like people stealing things that are even like unhygienic. Like a hat, that's been on my head. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I've been sweating down in the subway.
You hear people say, oh, let me take your shoes. It's like, bro, man's been sweating in this. And you know where I've gone in these shoes?
I've got athlete's foot.
Yeah, you don't even know. Like, you have to tell, bro, I'm dirty, you know? You sure you want these? Like,
those type of robberies, I don't know if they still go on, but in the 90s, they went on a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people got their sneakers and jackets taken from them.
Yeah, right. Avrex was our one.
Avirex's, North Faces, Sherlin's, whatever was fresh. If you had something on that was a trend at the time, 9 times out of 10, you could get robbed for it.
Especially
in New York City.
Definitely.
That's crazy.
I think people never really appreciate the journey to school. Like, they don't understand you went through a whole battlefield to get there.
It's a mission to get to school.
You never know what
you're going to bump into. And as you get older, the things that you want to explore. But that was the beauty of the whole school experiences. It was teaching us to become who we are and
do
those travels and things like that. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Were you already the guy from like school? Like, was you?
Yeah, I was pretty much a cool kid in school. I can't say that. I'll just say it like that. But I always attracted attention from other people and things like that. I was always bad. I was always cool. I always liked to dress. I was always into a lot. And then me and Zeke went to school for all high school. I met Zeke like fourth grade.
What's he like? Summer school. And fourth grade. Is he the same?
Yes. Same Zeke people see on TV. The same Zeke I had to deal with in college. And then in high school. We got kicked out of high school the same day. Our senior year, we got kicked out on the same day. His mom came to school and she was like, y'all are terrible.
Who's got who in more shit? Because you saying like Zeke is like.
We got each other in the most shit. We just was down for whatever. Whatever Zeke was into, I was going with him. Whatever I was into, I was going with him. Wasn't no fair fights. We gonna jump the shit out.
Yeah. Fuck a fair fight. I'm gonna watch my dog.
Bad kids. Like, we just was young kids trying to explore. Harlem was different. It's a lot of crime and a lot of things going on. So that was the environment we was raised up in. So naturally, we was mischievous and trying to do everything that the streets have for us to do.
Yeah.
Nah, you ain't. Nah, school ain't complete without like a school love.
Well, I was at Calvin school for all my most of the time. I got kicked out of my senior year. My senior year, I went to public school, but I had enough credits to already graduate, so I was pretty much. I had to take like one test, and I had to really sign my name on the test just to say that I was present because the Calvin school credits already granted me graduation. So when I went to public school, I was sliding with different girls every day at lunchtime. Damn it.
That's what he's remembering the good times.
Yeah, I remember. The most fondest story I have of being in Julia Richmond was the public school I went to in 12th grade. Like, you know, I'm a Catholic school kid, so.
Yeah. How old are you at 12th grade? Just for like
16?
London. 17, okay. 16. Okay, so that's like a college basically. Yeah. For us.
That's 16. Yeah, that's the last year. That's the last year for us, and then we go to college.
Right.
So, like, I remember my first day in public school. And I got my books and I'm trying to go to the class like I do in Catholic school. You got to go to class. Yeah. I see one of my niggas from the hood stack my books up in the air. What the fuck is you doing, man? But I'm trying to find my class. He's like, man, we're going to the lunchroom, bro. What are you talking about? And I don't even think I made it to a classroom in Juliet Richmond.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's the moments where someone will be like, bro, it's not cool to do this kind of shit.
It's not
cool to study, bro. Yeah, let's go to the lunchroom.
100%. Like, what are you looking strange?
Yeah. There was one point where, like, we had our, I don't know if you guys have, like a diary or a planner. Do you guys have that? Like, something which is, like, had all the dates in it, like lessons.
What class you're meant to be.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, give you a little paper, like, if you went to English class and all that, but... Second day, niggas just was like, we gonna figure this shit out.
Yeah, I get it when I get there. But we used to have one of those, like a planner. And I remember like when you first start secondary school, year 7, everyone's just fresh from like primary school. You ain't really got an identity yet. You haven't started being like the person you are, right? So I remember there was like give out stickers if you was good. So I'm there like sticking that shit on my planner like, I'm a good boy. I'm good. I'm the best. And one time, one of like year 11s, let's say someone that's like 4 years older, I think he must have seen one thing. He's like, are you a neek, man? You're a nerd. He looked at my planner and he read through me.
Yeah.
He could see who I was.
Disgusted with your attitude.
From that day, I said, I don't want no stickers. I don't want nothing. I don't want anyone to see what I'm on before, man. I tell them.
Yeah.
Crazy shit. But was there ever a point where you'd be like you was a good guy, good boy, if that makes sense?
I was always a good boy. I just was bad.
Fair enough. Good people do bad things. I was
a good kid, but I was bad. I was mischievous. Like, I just was bad. And in my neighborhood, I was bad. Like, just bad kid running around. By the time I got to high school, all the kids I knew that went to school that was a little older than me from the hood, they was like, this little nigga's a terror anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they got senior day when you're a freshman, and the senior day is kind of like beat up on a freshman. Me and Zeke was beating up the seniors. Jumping them niggas like, don't play with us. Don't nobody put your hand on us. Yeah, I was a little bit different in school. I always was a step ahead of the game. We did a lot of school. Me and Zeke was bad. I don't encourage this to nobody, but we was too small for our own good. Like, we never failed any classes and things like that. But besides that, we gave that Catholic school system a run for their money. Check scams, all type of shit we was doing.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what was like the get rich quick schemes? Like?
But we used to sell mad shit. I used to sell mad shit. My uncle used to work like Red Cross. He used to always bring boxes of like these fake Oreo cookies and shit like that, like big boxes. Me and Ziga sell about 1,000 of them just a week. Make like $500 throughout the school.
That's crazy. Set you're making
for,
money.
Sell them for 50 cents and then go buy sneakers and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
3,000 kids, 3,000 boys in the school. every day. It's not hard to sell without send a pop.
Yeah. Did anybody try to take your corner?
You know, like, so we always had the edge. I always was a hustler. So that's what I tell people. I was more of a hustler than a drug dealer. I mean, I sold drugs too, but I knew how to sell anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they gave me a dollar, I wasn't scared to sell it.
Yeah.
I sell a dollar for two.
That cold. So, and then what age did you like start getting into the clubs? Like, was it?
We started going to clubs like 15, 16.
Yeah.
Was it a fake ID business or you was just
I don't know, man. This Harlem was a different place and New York was a different place. If you got a couple of dollars, you could pretty much manipulate any system. Mm. 16 was the first time I went to the tunnel. That's that 94. And at that time, the tunnel was the illest club New York has ever seen besides Studio 54. Like, that's how historic it is. And
yeah.
In 2000 or something like that. But
you said it was the same owner as Limelight.
Yeah, Peter Gation, that was my man. I used to scare the shit out of him. I used to come to the club with like 80 people. Gang members.
Yeah, we can get it.
Rowdy gang members.
What was the plan?
Yeah.
I don't know what the objective was. Coming up, the brotherhood of the gang shit was something very dear to us, like, you know. Mm. Especially when you go outside and things like that. Everybody joined gangs for their own reasons and things like that. Me being the only boy and the oldest boy and things like that, I never had brothers and shit like that.
Right.
I always liked to see how a group of individuals move together. Football teams, baseball teams, basketball teams. I just like team. I just team. Mm-hmm. You dig? Like, team type of dude and things like that. Army, shit like that.
Comrades and stuff like that.
Shit like that. You know what I mean? So that was the line I was pushing when I was coming out.
Because we had once, there was sons, we had a, was it Carnival, innit?
Mm-hmm.
We have a Carnival in London and like, Peckham and who was it? Blueborough and area in London. They linked up, there was about, it looked like 150.
It looked like 200 youth.
I don't even know how to explain
all it. All blacked out.
I think the walk is probably longer than like from here to Harlem. Like they was trying to walk the whole way.
Because they couldn't get on the buses. That's
They're taking bikes.
Helicopters flew in.
Yeah.
They had the cameras from it. It was crazy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the guys' plan when you're rolling with 80?
Yeah.
You ain't going to get
when one. You're young, the adrenaline rush is so magnificent. You don't know what it's moving as one accord.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Not everyone's coming to enjoy
nobody get in the way while you're moving like that. Because if anybody get in the way, I don't think they're going to make it out of that. So it's like, damn.
Yeah, you feel
you're young, power becomes a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Control becomes a drug. You start misusing it.
Yeah.
What was the lure of the tunnel? Like the club? Like what was so like?
It was everything that you could desire in the tunnel. The shit was a block long. Mm. Inside of it, there was like three other different clubs that you could actually go into and do funny things with if you had a girl. the bathroom was unisex and the bathroom was just as big as his own club. And it had a big ass bar in the middle of the bathroom. So you could go to the bar and just be in the bar all night and fuck a chick in the bathroom and shit like that. It was a whole New York City block long. The baddest of the baddest chicks, models, industry chicks, rappers, athletes, boxers, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Name every artist, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, Ja Rule, Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Any artist you could think of from the 90s at that time that was about something was in that tunnel. And every week that shit was ram-packed. That shit was open at 9 sometimes and be closed at 10. Nobody can't get in because it's already sold out.
Yeah.
It was something about that. I mean, we was in our 20s and that was the end all be all of it. And niggas just started hustling and you started to get some money, first cars, car shows. It was everything. It was the pulse of the city at that time. Like, I can't say that. Like, and anybody who was somebody was in there. And there were certain things that could happen that let the people know that you was somebody. Like, if you could park your car on the block in front of that shit. You have that shit barricaded up. You definitely was somebody. I used to park 3 cars in front of that bitch.
It's a gyms in town.
If I'm lying, I'm flying. I'm talking about, I've been going there since 16. By the time I was 18, 19,
yeah.
I was doing what I wanted to do on that shit.
I was reading about, I read Fat Joe's book. You a reader?
I'm not a good reader. I mean, I'm not a big reader. Let me just not say that. I can't read very well. I'm not a big reader.
Yeah. So I was reading Fat Joe's book, and he was talking about a story with Big Pun and him getting into a fight.
I was there that night.
Big yeah, Pun took his with chain. Tyson, right?
I don't know if it was tight.
He might have had several fights, though.
Yeah, there might have plenty of fights.
I don't know what fights you're about to talk about because I didn't read the book.
Yeah.
But I was there for, God bless you, there for a fight that Big Pun and them had in the tunnel. And
yeah.
I remember Big Pun taking his chain off and whipping on somebody. And if you've seen his Cuban chain with the the tombstone on it, it was something like this back then.
Yeah.
Big and heavy like this. Yeah, them boys, and nobody wanted to play with Terror Squad at that time.
I wouldn't dare
play with them Puerto Rican kids at that time.
Yeah.
They definitely was rolling through everything. They wasn't giving nobody no passes, no nothing. They was ready for it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fat Joe, man. Shout out to the Don. I just did his Apollo, Apollo concert the other night, 20th anniversary.
Lean
Back record, and he had a bunch of artists come out. That was dope. He had Keith Sweat come out. That was like the highlight.
That's
of
crazy.
Everybody. So that was dope. Shout out to the Don, Cartagena.
But on that, what was funny is the Mike Tyson one. He said that Pun was in a fight. I'm paraphrasing, but then he said that Mike came out of nowhere and was like, "Let's fuck him up, Pun." He said he took off his Gucci loafers and was fighting in the street bare feet.
Yeah,
like, dude, barefoot. Was yeah,
crazy.
I was like, "What the fuck is this place, bro?"
I gotta read that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't tell you a story about Mike Tyson. The first time I seen Mike Tyson in the tunnel. I want to say it's like 94, 95, maybe. I remember he came with a silk shirt, crazy diamond chain on, crazy diamond bracelet, crazy diamond ring by himself. And everywhere he moved through the club, and I'm talking about this club, he packed like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere he moved through the club, that shit opened like
this.
Because nobody played with Mike. Everybody moved out his way. This one, he was the champ for real.
Yeah.
Niggas was scooting out the way like, "Yo, move out. Yo, move out Mike way, man. Have Mike swing on me in here. You crazy. I'm not. Nobody. Oh, shit. I'm fucking shit up.
Yeah, let's go.
But yeah, nobody played with Mike at all, man.
Yeah. It's funny because there's gangsters in there that might have guns. But man, like, that's Mike.
There's definitely niggas in there with guns, but niggas still don't want to play with
Mike. Yeah, that's still Mike. Yeah.
Grown men. I remember me and my niggas just looking like laughing and just like, "Oh, you see what Mike did?" Like, "Where you fuck somebody up?" Mike was like, my Superman back in the days, man.
He was dropping people in like 19 seconds.
Bro, the thing was so mad about that time of boxing, me and my brother were looking at it, and we was like, them man were boxing every month.
Yeah.
All my life, yeah. If I promise you, bro.
Yeah, not just two fights a year, shit.
Bro, like now it's like one fight, then like it takes 10 months, and it's like, "Are we going to rematch?" Whatever. There was one year where it was like December, he fought like twice. And then it was like, all my life, I swear, I'll look. You know what? You guys talk on. I'm going to go and get it.
I hear it. No, because he would have like 19 knockouts.
Wi-Fi. It was mad. Like, I was like, this guy's fought like 10 times already.
The way he was fighting back in the day is definitely different to how they're fighting right now.
Crazy. Yeah. It was wild. They were fighting all the time. So I'm like, it makes sense why no one had an O. Nobody had an O. Do you get what I'm saying? Everybody had lost.
Yeah, everyone lost.
There's no Mayweather during that time. I won this week. Someone's coming in 2 months and beat me up, bro. And then if not, the month after, like, it was like rapid. There was no O's back then.
That's why long rematches was so dope back then.
Yeah. You couldn't run.
Nillas and all this type of shit. Yeah.
It's still fresh in the memory. Like, the first fight is still there.
Yeah.
Right now I'm like, "Oh, let me go watch it on YouTube. Remember what happened in the first one."
Yeah.
I want it tomorrow, bruv.
Yeah, for sure.
That gang.
For sure. I want to get an intro right quick because we definitely need to let them know who's about. Nighties Baby Show. My name is Temi Alchemy.
I'm Fred Santana.
Got a shooter in the house.
Yeah.
That's a real shooter, Jim. Look at Jim.
He is shooting too.
Real shooter in the house in NYC and all them vibes there in his daily paper. Check him out.
Come on.
Check you out in your beige. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling beige. Like, what you
having
today, bro?
Nigga, overseas, underseas, Wakanda, never God. It's my nigga VP in the cut. That's a scary sight.
Yo.
We got one of my personal favorites.
Definitely.
Real favorite, bro. Like, this is a moment. This is actually a real moment. Talented rapper, entrepreneur as well. Been doing very good business with him, music, and probably outside of that, we don't even know. But shoot, got it out the mud.
Yeah, definitely.
Got it out the mud.
The real weatherman.
Yeah, the real weatherman. Shoot, yeah, we got Jim Jones, man.
Yeah, man.
We got Jim Jones. We got big Jim Jones. Pause. That's not crazy, but yeah. Yeah.
Bro. You know what I wanna pick up on? You said rap is the most dangerous job in the world. Has that situation improved, do you feel, over the last couple of years?
I mean, it's evident. People can see it. Every day we damn near hear another rapper dies. There's so many rappers. It's like one for one right now. You got a 50% chance of dying if you become a rapper. There's no other odds like that nowhere else in the world as an occupation. You can look that up statistically.
Do you think it's the
top? What about the army, though?
Look it up.
Even the army?
You don't have a 50% chance
like
of dying.
They're not
in the
really
army.
At war all the time.
That's also true.
Like,
that's also
bro,
true.
You do not have a 50% chance of dying in war.
Damn. That's crazy.
You have a high chance of dying in war, but it's not like a 50-50.
Yeah.
Look at the stats if I'm bugging, if I'm tripping.
I don't even have Wi-Fi, so I'm just
right
thinking
now,
well for it,
right now, or as of, I know, maybe as of last year or something like that, I know this statistic was like, it was a one for one, like,
yeah,
50% of the rappers are getting murdered out here.
What is that?
That's crazy.
I couldn't tell you why is that, but I know we need to change the narrative. I know when we were coming up, it's very aggressive. There was a lot of crime, but for the most part, the people that was above us was trying to teach us how to get a dollar.
Yeah.
Seems like it's changed now. The OGs out there now teaching these kids how to kill money, how to get money. You know what I mean?
Do the dirty work for them.
I mean, I don't know if they're doing the dirty work, but that's just the climate of what's going on.
Yeah.
Through everything, combination of so many, the music we create.
Yeah.
The lifestyle we create, us not having opportunities, these kids stuck in the middle of the projects.
Yeah.
The trauma that being in the projects, it's so much and things like that. So it's so easy for a kid to really go out there and ready to crash out because they feel like they ain't got nothing anyway.
Yeah. Do you feel it's worse? Like, sometimes a lot of people will be like, oh, the kids of today are worse. Do you feel it's worse now, like in the streets, or let's say for?
I wouldn't say that because when we was younger, they
it's still bad.
They were saying we was the worst thing ever in the world.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing cycle and things like that. So I think they just put in the same predicament as we were.
Yeah.
We just a little bit older to be able to see it now.
Yeah. It's hyper visible, right?
Yeah.
Once you win it, you can't see it. You're trying to survive it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
when it comes a certain age that you survive and it becomes obsolete, and you just able to analyze it. Like, damn.
Yeah.
So then, shit. With like Dipset,
what about them?
When you first started, what was like your first goal? What was the biggest thing you dreamed of when it first started? Like. If we get
the
this.
Biggest thing I dreamed of when we first started. I wanted to make sure that Cam became the biggest rapper in the world at that time.
Yeah, he said that.
The only person rapping at that time. When we first started, everything that was important to me was about making Cam as successful as he needed to be. I didn't rap at the time, but I had an opportunity to fill a void in the midst of his business, and I was holding him down by all means, and whatever job came with it, I was fully ready and capable of doing.
What happened at the Verses is when I think a lot of people clocked Cam's star power as well, which was good to see. Well, mainly in like London, I would say, is what.
Yeah, because Cam wasn't like the star of Dipset when we were growing up in London. It was like Jim Jones. Do you know what I mean? Like Jewels. Like Cam was just kind of like the other rapper for me anyway.
What?
For me.
That's oh, what for I'm you. Saying. Oh, for you. Okay.
I was like heavy on Dipset when I was growing up. So I was oh, yeah, I hear Jim Jones. I hear Jewels. Because obviously Lil Wayne and all of that stuff. So I was like,
yeah,
cool. And then Cameron was just kind of like, oh, he's part of Dipset. It's like, cool.
Mm.
But like definitely in recent times it's like, oh shit. Like
Yeah. I get what you
Cam
mean.
Cam was always the lead star. He started off with his solo career and went through his ups and downs and eventually found some newfound success when he got to Rockefeller. And then he was able to start the whole Diplomat movement after that.
That's cool.
I didn't know that.
So you guys still ain't made it to London though. How does that
I don't know. Last time there was they had some discrepancies out there.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
I don't know nothing about it. I don't really care nothing about it. I love London. I was out in London for one time, but I did the European tour after that, some shit like that. But I don't know, man. Somebody send a bag over and we be open.
You know what I mean? That's what it takes these days. You know, people be asking us to come out to places. Send me the bag. I'll be there, bro.
And we pulling up. That's not a trick question.
There was like one video. I think when Cameron, I think
Drew Wells was in like Wandsworth area, that one with Tanner.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to talk about it. I was going to talk about, I think Cam was supposed to come.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't. Something happened there. But that was the first time where I saw like a man make a meme of like a situation. Like, and he said, "Oh, these guys in London talk about how they're going to rob me. Meanwhile, I'm doing the bachata in like Harlem or something." And he had like a video of them like dancing. Someone was spinning some girl around. I was like, Ethan Ness.
Nah, there's definitely a lot of fans in London that would love to see like,
for sure,
Jim Jewels or the whole Dipset out there. So
yeah,
someone make.
I don't have the bag, so you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, look.
Somebody. Maybe Giggs can make it happen. Giggs can make it happen for sure. What about like just that brotherhood though? Because I think people always misunderstand that within like a brotherhood, people know that people are gonna like argue and stuff, but like, you know, you can actually go years without speaking to someone, but it's still like love. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying? And then even in I can't remember what song it is, but you was like, you know, Cam was there, but it's kind of high and by. And I was thinking, that's sad, but at the same time, also know that that can just be a brotherhood sometimes for now. Maybe you make up later, maybe you talk later, but like, what's that brotherhood like? Does it bother you that you guys maybe don't speak as much? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the fans analyze things way too much.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they put way more on it than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, try to get these elaborate answers from us that don't really mean anything to us. Like it's like it's a regular day for us, but for y'all, I understand it like that, but.
This
I think the brother things are good.
You know
what I mean? It is.
If you got brothers, you got brothers. You know,
exactly how it is.
I didn't speak to my sister in a couple years. Still love her to death.
Yeah.
I think when you actually deep it, if you put yourself in that situation and you deep like, right, actually, I've got a brethren like that as well.
Yeah,
it's normal shit, isn't it?
I think it's different when, yeah, as you said, like, as a
every
fan.
Now and then, you're gonna cross paths. It's gonna be jokes and laughs.
Like you lot never stop talking. Like,
100%.
Yeah.
And then you go back into whatever. And people, being in the position that we are, everything is in front of everybody, so people get to.
Yeah.
And I have their own speculations on what is really going on and things like that. It's not that serious, people.
100%.
Still Dipset for life.
Yeah.
When I linked up with some of my boys from secondary school and like we went rock climbing or some shit, like they're Colombian and that. So I was just like, I linked up with them and it was like, rah, like, I actually fuck with you lot. I ain't spoken to them again. Like, but it's just one of those things. Like, it was like,
Yeah. I hear it for sure.
You gotta learn to love the people. You gotta learn to love people from afar sometimes.
100%. That's right. Even safer sometimes as well.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Hey,
protect your energy, man.
The brotherhood's great as well. Just like, do you understand the impact you guys had outside of the US? Like, did you ever get to like embrace?
Nah, I don't really. I know that we had a heavy impact around the world. Yes, I do know that, but. It's not like me being from the United States. I can see it every day.
Mm.
I can feel it every day. You know?
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you how much London really fucks with us, but I do get a lot of people from a lot of walks of the earth that when they see me, they go crazy and they give me their whole spill of, you got me through this, yo, I'm from such and such. Like, so it's I definitely feel a lot of the love from a lot of different places and things like that.
Yeah,
like it could be told, man. Like we used to sell your fucking mixtapes in school. Like we'd download it off that piff.
Shit. I got a partner that I do business with right now.
Yeah,
from another country. I ain't gonna talk about, but the way we ended up doing business with him, because he kind of trying to give back, because he made millions of dollars over something. Bootleg diplomat.
Yeah. Is that guilt now? How about we do some business together? Like, get your reparations or some shit.
They
Yeah, man, just can't be so nice.
Yeah.
Man, you're being so nice.
Yeah, funny, used to print that shit up. Like, so that, definitely that was a time.
Made $1 million business off of selling our bootleg cheese. So that was one of the things that show us how influential we were on other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, you did what?
Yeah.
Yeah, because back then there wasn't streaming stuff. Fight the power.
Oh, man. So when do you feel like you stepped into your bag of rapping? Like, when you feel like, I've arrived.
Yeah.
Like, I can spar with the best of them. Do you know what I mean?
When I did this project called A Kitchen.
Oh, right. That's quite recent, though. Yeah. Considering your career, that's quite recent. Uh-huh. What? You think that that's when you stepped in?
Mm-hmm. I would have gone to Vampire Life 3.
You asking me when I feel when I stepped in and I could box in any arena with anybody.
Okay. Oh, all right. Fair enough.
That was The Kitchen album. I know how to make incredible records.
Catalog.
I always know how to make albums. I'll get that.
Okay.
You don't have to be the most skilled, talented rapper to make good music.
Yeah.
But you're asking me a different question.
That's when you felt.
Jump in any arena with any of these artists.
Yeah.
Is when I made The Kitchen. And from then on, I felt, even to this day, I've gotten better since I've made The Kitchen.
Nah, facts.
I mean, I really feel like there's nobody that don't want no smoke with me. I mean, and I say that wholeheartedly, but I don't really like to involve myself in the younger generation because that's not where I'm at. I've been in this game a long time. Mm. I'm not trying to go up against that. But anybody... in my day,
yeah,
any of your favorite rappers,
yeah,
I don't think they really want to smoke with me. I don't think they really want to go head up with me in the way that I could go head up. They ain't ready for no head up battles like that. They don't really want to.
Damn.
But my favorite artist is Juelz. So
yeah, that's always been my favorite artist too.
He's out there, Juelz. No.
What came first, The Kitchen or Wasted Talent?
The Kitchen.
Yeah.
The Kitchen. Okay. Yeah.
But what put me on to Bronx Tale was Wasted Talent. I watched that shit straight after that album.
I made my son and my nephew sit down and watch that movie with me after I did the album Wasted Talent.
Yeah. I still need to watch it, to be fair.
Yeah, I've been watching
it. Nah, but that made me want to watch it. Yeah. I just ain't got around to it.
For a person like myself who was a person who lived a life in the street and is also a working man.
Yeah.
And me trying to explain to my son who I was at the time as he's getting older and able to know a lot of things. I was like, this is a movie that represents me the whole way, both of these individuals.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because he see me with the gangsters, but he see me taking care of the family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's is that if a nickel bag gets sold in the park, I want in. Is it that same film?
No.
So what film is that then?
This is like Italian mobsters, a Bronx Tale, isn't it?
Yeah, Bronx Tale, yeah.
Oh, I need to find out.
Yeah, Pelogio. That was a kid's name that grew up around or he watched Clojure growing up with the mobsters and ended up becoming more closer to one of the mobsters than he was with his father as he got older.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah.
The whole valuable lesson in that. So it was just like,
yeah,
his father was a working class man, but he was attracted to the lifestyle of what the gangsters.
What was it that made you want to sharpen your pen though? Because obviously you're already gym, like. What was it that was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm gonna start barring.
There's a point around the time I did The Kitchen, I really was undecisive for what I wanted to do in this game. I just came back from like Miami. Mm. I went through a lot of shit with the industry where I was getting blackballed. Mm. People may think I'm like, nah, I was getting blackballed. I can tell you wholeheartedly. I got the evidence, but
the receipts.
Yeah. That's why I kind of left, and I kind of left everything behind in New York for a little while. I went to Miami and was down there, and I was actually down there helping other artists. Breezy, Zoe Dallas, YD. Started doing the Miami Vamps down there, helping them, because that's how I knew how to do. I wasn't really worried about music. The dad came back, and it was like, I had to make a decision of, if I really want to do this anymore. And if I am going to do this, you got to really do it. Because it ain't going to take you serious. And for the person you are, for them to take you serious as far as a rapper's concerned, like, not saying people take me as a joke at all, I'm just saying for the music. And then you have Freddie Garson, God Bless His Soul.
Man.
When I was going to Hitmaker Studio, he used to record out of there every day. Him and Austin are some best friends. And every time he would see me going there, he would give me some encouraging words, and they were sincere. It wasn't like nobody blowing smoke. You know what I mean? Like, it was very sincere every time he came in. Like, yo, you should take it serious, Jim. Like, the game fuck with you and shit like that. And
yeah.
he was a very big instrumental part of me really getting back on my bike and just watching, sitting there watching him rap every day. And if you a fan of Freddie Garson, he's probably one of the nicest individuals that the game has ever got to see and didn't really get what he deserved. But as far as his penmanship, I don't think it was too many artists.
Yeah, he was called
with them bars and things like that. So just sitting there watching him and doing all that kind of did a lot for me. And then just knowing that I had to not be the best I could be. I had to be the best in the room. In order for them to take me seriously.
Yeah.
I want to spin it back to like fatherhood. How has that treated you?
Fatherhood is great.
Yeah,
I love my son to death. He was a blessing.
You got one son?
Life. I got one son. Yeah, he helped me change my life. I got a bunch of adopted sons and things like that. I take care of a lot of children, but
yeah,
I got one son, my junior, Pootie.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
Changed my attitude on life. Changed my narrative on life.
At what stage in life was he born?
He was born 21 years ago next month.
That's good. You remember his birthday?
Bro, that's dumb, isn't it?
My mom said, that's a joke. Go ask his dad when you're born. I was like, oh shit. He might not know that shit.
He was born a year before my first album. And at that time, I definitely was in I was a wild animal. Doing a lot of things that maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm here today. But having him had really helped me navigate through life. And then it wasn't when he was first born. It took some time. It wasn't like he was born. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I got to change. But no, it was gradual moments of me knowing that I got a son that I got to take care of, and it's not just me anymore. And there was things in life that happened to make me realize that as I went on, and there usually be bad things that happened to me that I know that it could have went the other way and I wouldn't have been able to make it home to my son. And things like that really made me start to reevaluate how I need to be moving outside because I want to make it home to my son.
Yeah. Life ever flashed before your eyes in any of the moments?
I mean, yeah, I had a lot of close calls and things like that, but I love my God so much that I know he got me covered.
Amen. Amen. bro, I got so much questions, bro. I've been listening to you for so long. I'm like, how the fuck do I get all of this out? Something that I'll say like, just on like music, because to me, music is even just the tip of the iceberg. Like, you're one of few people that I can say has got better over time, if that makes sense. At the stage that you're at, having such a long career, you're better than when I first was listening. And I'm like, not many people have done that. But are you impressed by that? Because I see a lot of people say it to you. And I'm like, I feel the same way. So everybody, it's a known thing, Jim Jones is even better than he was before. Like, but are you impressed by that? Or are you thinking, I always knew I could, you know?
I impress myself every time I'm in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly impressed.
He came on
what was it? On the radar.
Yeah.
Calling it Rap Radar. That was hilarious.
That was jokes.
And he come and did the freestyle and they were like, I think they said what they wanted you to do over, Sam. And he's like, ain't no do over. But the way they cut it.
I'm not from that era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What goes on now is these kids going in, they record these freestyles like if they was doing a video. I'm from an era where you had one time to try it.
Yeah.
The radio, you on the radio live and you couldn't curse. And if you fucked your chance up a freestyle on the radio, You was a dub. That damn near was your rap career because you didn't complete the mission again. That chance you had to shine for everybody on the radio. Mm. That's the mentality that I come from. That's the era that I come from. Like, we meticulously taught how to have bars and raps for cases we go to anywhere niggas want to battle. That's one of the lessons that Cam make sure that we had. And now he was a monster at making sure he had bars. So today, even today, and even the artists that I have, I tell them to make sure they know they shit in all these platforms. I mean, going up there making us look bad.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't get held against you anymore.
Nah. Yeah, true, true, true. It's absolutely fine.
But you can impress people.
Yeah.
When they see certain things. You understand what I'm saying? When they see how you carry yourself, when they see you knew your shit, when you see you dig, like, you can't impress somebody. They might not hold nothing against you, but you could, you dig? And that's what I did on the radar. I wanted the kids to see a bit of what I could do that I know 99% of these rappers won't do.
Yeah.
I'm saying they can't. But it takes a lot of heart to go inside a freestyle platform, sit in there, kiki with them, write the verse, get on there, do it in one take, and bounce on it.
Yeah. Because it looked like...
has never, ever seen that.
Nah, yeah. Ever.
Yeah. Is that okay? Even though it was edited.
It again, like,
the way it was edited, I was like, is there more to it?
There was no edit.
And then it just kind of ended. I was like,
shit. Just I told him, don't edit nothing.
Yeah, I saw it. I could see he was like...
I was like, right, you just...
And the little cuts you see is because they had three different cameras recording at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was, I told them, don't cut nothing. I'm going to show you something that I know these other people can't do because they're not from the era.
That era, yeah.
That's the beauty sometimes of being who we are. Mm. We get to use certain tactics that they don't know about. Mm. You know what I mean?
Show them that game.
That was cool.
What's your current outlook? Big rap beef going on at the moment. Mm. Civil war's broken out for sure.
And do you feel pressure to pick a side?
No, I don't pick sides.
Mm.
I am the side. It's each his own, man. People go what they go through in this rap game.
Mm-hmm.
It's serious, it's not serious. So everybody know I fuck with Drake. That's my guy. But I fuck with Metro Boomin. I fuck with Future and all that.
Yeah.
And they going through what they going through and things like that. Me, myself, I choose not to interfere. And you know what I mean? But they both make incredible music and things like that. You dig? And I know how it be to be in the midst of a debacle. And
yeah,
there's a lot of people that's figuring out what side they need to take and things like that. People needed to sit back and mind their business and finish doing what they're doing. Because when y'all start to take sides and it's all said and done, the same niggas that's going to take sides is the same niggas they not going to want to fuck with.
Because they're going to get back together and you're going to be out.
There, yeah. That happened a lot with girls.
I'm just saying what I've seen. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Mm-hmm. That, as me being older and I've seen a lot of people go through a lot of different shit, I've watched how it play out. And people use things like that to think that them picking a side is going show favor to them. Mm. And that shit don't do nothing but make you a bit of a dick rider if you ask me. Mm. Especially if you don't have no personal vested interest.
Team,
family, making money, rolling with them, mobbing with them. You have some connection that makes that shit move in the least bit. You a dick rider.
Mm-hmm.
You a dick eater.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're a dick eater if you jump up and just take a side. You on Future dick, now you on Drake dick. Like, niggas is dick eaters. You don't even know these niggas. Put you in the rap game, so you feel compelled to be like, sit your monkey ass down.
Yeah.
They had a grown rich folks business.
Yeah.
I'm not rich enough to be in that business, you heard?
I tell you, man, it's all about the money, man.
Let's talk about love. Because love's a real thing, right? Whether it be for family, we're all married.
Uh-huh.
All in this room, which is great. Four married men, that's great. How that love story start with you and your lady, like?
I had a crush on Chrissy. Chrissy's from Harlem. Chrissy's probably one of the flyest, baddest, dopest chicks from Harlem, from that era of the 90s. She's been outside for a while. She's definitely been at the top tier of her game. The 90s era was a different era. If you know anything about Harlem, you had some of the most notorious hustlers, gangsters, and drug dealers, and some of the richest at the time moving through the city of Harlem. You know? She kind of stand out like a unicorn amongst all of that. For me, seeing the first time, like Martin 25 one day when I went over there with Mace one day. I can't forget it. And she had like a chair chopped off. And I was a little young at the time. We just started doing rapping. I remember asking who that was. He's like, yo, that was, she was somebody else, lady at the time. I was like, damn, that bitch is fire. That's like, I would say 96.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 96-ish. Then 04. Well, I've seen it through other times. Times here and there.
Took that nothing,
I don't
yeah,
I don't
crazy.
Know it, didn't know her personally and things like that. But as being in the game, she always was in the industry. So we see her around and things like that. But in 04, I was in Miami and I went to a club on the beach. And she ended up being in that club. And she ran down on me and said some funny shit to me. I was like, wow, this is crazy. In my mind, I was like, wow, I'm nervous. I don't even know what to say. I'm trying to find my cool at the moment. All my cool is out the window, and I feel like I'm the coolest individual in the world.
Yeah. Not I can see night. She still got that effect. Like, you start talking about cool you up. Like,
hey,
that.
Now what? Like, hey, Jim Flasher, you know? Yeah. Like, he said that was 96.
Yeah. That was big for me at the time. Mm. At the time, it was a big stat for me at the time. You know, you're young, you end up getting one of the flyest, most sought after in the game, like by all of them. And now she was a gangster, and I made people skin crawl. You know what I mean?
Like, you felt everyone like looking at you like, why is she a gym?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that. I had to wrinkle a few people's shirt too. I had to solidify this shit. You're gonna get your ass in a whole bunch of trouble. So yeah, you know, we still running strong. We're going on our 20th anniversary next month.
Nice.
Crazy.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah. Crazy. That's one of few settings where like, marriages is crazy anyway, but how do you find marriage life?
I mean, technically we're not married, but
okay,
we do live as a married couple. We
have
for the past 20 years. Everybody got their own thing. I can't say that, and I don't say that every woman does not deserve a marriage, because that is
the
textbook dream thing and things like that. But we've also seen a lot of people come and go.
100%. Yeah,
throughout our years.
Yeah,
I you know what I mean? Like, our chemistry is our chemistry, and
yeah.
Not saying that that's out the window, and maybe there will be a beautiful ceremony and everything.
Mm.
But right now, the bond that we have is stronger than anything that I've seen. And the way we hold each other down, you're not going to find that too much out here.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like, you know, I look at everything for what it is and things like that. And a lot of people talk shit, but I've seen you already been married 2-3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, like, he's like, maybe one day. That was like the dream for her. Is that like her dream?
Yeah. Everyone,
you feel like she needs
every,
that, yeah.
Every woman.
How you been able to run off on that for so long?
I mean, because she's just an incredible woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That was a good answer.
There's nothing I can say about that. I'd be stupid too. But she's just an incredible person and things like that. And her understanding is something like none other.
Yeah.
What else, like, because obviously, like, you said she's the first one that took you to the gym and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Like, what else, like, she done? Like, how do you feel like she's made you the man that you
are? Yeah.
She does a lot, from just the small things and making sure that I'm taken care of in the house, to her being one of the smartest people that I know. She's very smart. She knows, she like fucking encyclopedia. I mean, how the fuck do you know this shit?
That's what I'm saying. Women are like that, though.
She tough.
Yeah.
You ever taught her something, though?
If I get in a fight, she fighting too.
She look like she'll do that, though.
If I'm down, she tell me pick my head up, straighten my crown up.
Yeah.
She everything.
Yeah, because women be coming into your life and changing it. Because honestly, before I met my wife, I didn't think buying a house was possible. It wasn't even a thought in my mind. I was just like, I need to go rent first before I can even buy a house. And she was like, no, let's just go buy a house.
It's not that hard. Like, certain things that they put you on to that you be like, I'm kind of stupid.
Retarded. It was that simple. Like, how the fuck did this?
She said it and it just worked.
Yeah.
We're living in our own house now.
Every man needs a good woman in their life. Women do come in your life and they change you, but they can change you for the better, or they can change you for the worse. I've seen a lot of women bring the worst out of a man and things like that, and change who they are.
Mm-hmm.
She's only made me better, and she tries not to change who I am.
You know what I mean?
Even like marriage and like relationship with like your guys. Have you ever had to give like marriage advice to one of the, or relationship advice to one of the guys?
I try not to give people relationship advice. I try not to butt into people's relationships because it's I don't know if people take it. I mean, we all talk like banter and things like that, and I can tell people from my personal experience what I go, but people see, I do, you know what I mean? Like, if you're around me, then you know how I take care of my lady. If you one of my guys, then you see every day how I take care of mine and how I go about taking care of mine.
Yeah.
So that should rub off on you and things like that. If you go buy flowers, now my driver's buying flowers. Like, yo.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell that.
Take these flowers home tonight. You ain't going to have a headache tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like just different things and shit like that. So, you know.
I love cars, right? And the way you talk about crashing cars is crazy. Like, he's always saying, I crashed the Rover.
Well,
I did this.
Listen to me. And me and Chris laugh about this every time. But it's something. I got some fucking karma with these cars, bro.
You can't drive, bro. You can't.
You know what I mean?
But then he writes another sick bar, and I'm thinking, crash another one. Because I want to hear it.
I haven't crashed my own cars in a minute. Like, it's just like, so. The other day, the driver crashes into a deer while I'm going home.
Oh, it wasn't even you that crashed it.
A deer. Now the caddy's down. God, a few months before that, the guy T-bones the Range Rover out of nowhere, going across. Like, but I didn't crash and dash all type of shit. Ferraris, Lambos, and God bless me that I'm still here. I'm not saying that. But rapping, I'd be laughing because I'd be like, yo, they took.
It's going down. Because I never took that shit seriously.
Bro, I take it serious because he says it so much. I'll crash it after I left the dealership.
I crashed Chrissy's drop top Bentley. She had a
bro.
All this shit is for six shits and giggles, though. It's all materialistic, man. God bless us that. You know, we could be able to do that. Get out of these situations unscathed and then be able to jump into some other shit and shit like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds good on records, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. When you said I crashed the Range, left the same place that I crashed it at. I was like, I want to do it. Yeah. But I'll be standing there like,
oh, fuck. Nah, it's not that bad.
I'm still there sitting in the Range. Oh, fuck.
Word up. The police was like, could you at least park it? I was like, shit. You heard? I was like, I'm done with it. What do you mean parking? It's done. I'm out of here. I called the Uber already. Like, I'm out. They're like, no, we can't do that. You got to park it. I had to pull it to the curb.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here, man. Y'all can keep it. I'm done with that one.
So how did you link up with Giggs? How did that relationship come about?
Giggs. Maino and Giggs are very, 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 very
good. They are.
I can't pinpoint the day or, but I do know that my relationship with Giggs stems from the relationship that him and Maino have. And, and Maino are brothers. So now me, Maino, and Giggs are brothers.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You know what I mean?
You
a friend of yours is a friend of mine. Mob rules.
Oh, and Lobby Boys too. Is that
coming up?
Yeah.
Coming up. We got some incredible music. Giggs on it too.
Yeah. You need to stay
Lobby
rapping.
Boys too. That's coming up. We in the midst of finishing that up. I just did a deal to do a joint album with Peasy. If you're familiar with Peasy from Detroit, he's a big artist out here right now. That should be fun. My first album is called On My Way to Church. It's actually the 20th year, August 24th. So I'm putting out an album called At the Church's Steps, which is the sequel to On My Way to Church. So many things we're gonna get into, and so many things I would like to show people and talk about. It should be fun. I know a lot of people got a lot of questions to talk about these last 20 years. I've done a lot, good and bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
For sure. Very just quick questions. What did We Fly High do for you?
Oh.
Like
changed my life. I always talk wild about We Fly High, but at the end of the day, this record changed my life. It haunts me to this day.
How?
Everybody wants you to perform it.
Everywhere I go, they still play it.
Yeah. That's how the rapper's new shit.
We fly.
We fly.
It's an incredible feeling, though, you know. It's definitely an incredible feeling to be able to look back and know that I've created a record that's etched in hip-hop and culture and music history.
Yeah.
It's not a person that don't know balling.
Yeah.
Like Black, Chinese, London, Paris, like
unanimous.
I've created a record that will be... it's almost 20 years I've wrote this.
I was going to say, you need to do an Apollo like Fat Joe.
If they book me and I don't do balling, they might want their money back. And it's crazy. Like, yo, we set the trends that just was a top 20 hit last year, gold record. And, yeah, all right, cool.
Balling.
Like, goddamn.
But I think that's
great, though.
That's so sick because even though you might be trying to, like, because I always look at like artists on stage thinking, secretly everybody wants him to perform that one song and they might not be listening to like the new ones. But at the same time, for you to have a song which has stood the test of time
and then the new
and still has that effect, that's still
I had to embrace it. Like, a lot of times I'm like, it's a gift and a curse, but no, it's a gift.
All gifts, yeah.
It's a gift, I will admit. That is a gift. That's just me being funny in my feelings at the time because whatever I was going through, but now, no matter whatever I'm at, and I feel it great, incredible, looking back, it's been a hell of a gift to me. It's actually the gift that helped me kept going this whole time. Like, that was the gift that kept me getting booked when that was the only money that I could make besides having to go to the street. If I didn't have that gift, I wouldn't get them tools infused that was able to help me pay the rent and survive through the little down moments that I had and things like that, looking back. And the gift is the gift that keeps on giving, and I'm very appreciative of it.
Quick one, was music a way to just make out the hood, or was it like something you actually love? Because I'm thinking, you're still making music. Like, so you must actually love this shit.
Yeah and nay. Music is still like homework for me.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
So why are you doing it?
I don't know.
Well, you do some fashion shit now as well.
Yeah, I do a fashion.
You got your own shades.
We got my own shade.
Vampire Life, right?
Yeah. They do vintage frames. Shout out to Purple. Purple brand. That's one of them. One of the brands I do a lot of good business with. Fashion's been my life, man. I've been fresh for the whole time. I've done so much in this culture for the fashion. I pretty much changed the look of what hip hop was from when it was that day to what it is now and shit like that. As you can see, 20 years later, people still dressing like me.
Supreme,
Heart,
all that kind of stuff.
Supreme owe me a check.
I remember.
True Religion owe me a check.
For sure.
I bought size 38 True Religion. I was not 38.
You've never been a 38. Crazy. We all wanted them.
True Religion making a nice resurgence. Ed Hardy as well.
Ed Hardy owe me a check. Christian Audigé owe me a check.
But how do you get that check?
Owe me a check.
Like, how do you get that check now? Because obviously you're not going to be able to say, hey, I wore your shit and I made it cool. They're going to be like, all right, thanks. Do you try to design for them now? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, things like that, yeah, but I wouldn't be pressing the issue. But I missed the boat on that.
You gave the game for
too
free.
Too fly for my own self. I was creating and seeing and how it could have turned into business for me. Then I was very conceited and obnoxious and just in my own way like that.
Nobody really was doing that back then anyway, so it's like, who was gonna tell you, yo, this is a route? Do you know what I'm saying?
I can't say in today's day I get a lot of flowers from these artists who've taken pages out of my book of fashion, and a lot of these brands, they reach out, want to do business. So I can't say that in today's day I haven't sought after for a lot of things when it comes to fashion, which does feel good.
You know? Yeah, there's a funny video when you were shooting like a music video and like Louis Vuitton or something, and you was like, "We fucking up, Louis."
Man, five mics. He went in there and spent like $50,000 in that shit.
Jim, before we let you get out of here, we usually ask our guests 10 questions to wrap up. Yeah, it's a little trivia section.
All right.
You got a couple lifelines. You can ask the audience one time.
Okay.
No one can use Google or Spotify, anything like that. You got one multiple choice. So if you're struggling, we'll read you four answers. Hopefully you pick the right one. You can ask a 90s baby. So if you're stuck on my question, you can ask Tem or VP for help. You can skip one time. If you skip, you don't lose a point. For every question you get wrong, you lose a point.
All right.
Final question worth 10 points. You ready?
Okay.
Question one. Name three Pusha T tracks.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
He's been like Nori. Nori did that shit.
Grinding, right?
Yeah.
What's my name? I am who I am.
My name is
my name. Is
my name is my name.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a song? But that's the tape, though.
Well, yeah, that's not the album.
That's the tape.
It's
because reigniting the beef.
I'm gonna just say cocaine. That gotta be.
That's gonna be.
That's definitely the name title of one of his songs.
He's a white on the scale. That's it.
We've given the point.
I'm just giving the point because that was my shit.
All right, question two. In the movie American Gangster, how much is the alpaca rug?
Was it $30,000? What do you say? It's $12,000 alpaca rug? I don't know. Shit, I don't know. I fucking had up. I know block that shit.
Yeah.
Snatch his glasses off his face. Nah, I might be out of that one.
It's $25,000.
I know it's close.
And then question three, what is the second largest borough in New York City?
The second largest borough?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it be Brooklyn, maybe?
Yes.
Brooklyn. Okay.
You win.
2 out of 3 there.
On to 10.
All right. What street is Amy Ruth's on?
Amy Ruth is on her 16th Street.
Yeah.
That's my neighborhood.
Yeah. I was there. I asked for you as well. They said they don't know you. I said, don't worry. No, joking. All right. What country is Mercedes manufactured in?
In Germany.
Okay.
German engineering?
Yeah. And how many streams does We Fly High have on Spotify?
To this day? Oh, I definitely don't know that.
You can guess.
At all. 500 million? I don't know.
You know it's not 500. They would have. They would have met you like you know it's on 500 million, right? Do you want to use a lifeline? You can skip. You can ask.
Skip that.
Yeah, yep. Skip. Cool.
What is it?
41 million.
Okay.
That's on Spotify as well, man.
When Spotify just happened, right? When did Spotify start?
I think that's 15? Like 12 years, 13.
It would have been like 3 billion streams if that shit was started.
Right.
That would have been out of it. Okay, question one. What does SPF in sunscreen stand for?
SPF?
Yeah.
Oh, in sunscreen?
Yeah.
I don't even wear sunscreen.
Do you know what? You remind me right now of Tiny Boost. Do you know who Tiny Boost is? He's one of Giggs' guys. He sits the exact same way. Remember when he did that shit?
Yeah.
And I was like, in the history of this show, I've never seen a man sit like this on a podcast. And now we've got Jim Jones doing it.
Shout out Boost.
Yeah.
Shout out Boost, man. That's my guy. But you've got multiple choice if you want.
Yeah, let me hear the multiple choice.
Okay. Is it A, Sun Protection Foundation? Is it B, Sun Protection Factor? Is
no, it's A.
You don't want to hear the rest of the Which are you going for? Sun Protection Foundation. Incorrect. It's Sun Protection Factor.
Oh.
B. It was B. Yeah.
Little
got
boy.
That wrong.
Okay. Next question is, what sport and event is held in every Memorial Day?
What sporting event?
Yeah. It's held in the US every Memorial Day.
Oh. What do you mean? Like basketball?
No. It's a
tennis?
No.
It's not sporting event.
Oh wait, you can ask the audience because I feel like the audience does.
No, I can't help you, Jim.
I'm sorry, Jim. I can't help you.
I need a lifeline.
What has he got? Ask the audience.
You got ask us.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you guys know? I don't think you lot will know.
Memorial Day.
Is it polo?
I can tell you, I'll give you a clue. It's a
polo.
Driving event.
I feel
event.
Like it's polo.
It's a driving event.
Oh,
it's a driving
oh
event. Surely I must know.
With the NASCAR?
Yeah. That's
Indy
what
500?
Formula
Indy 500.
Indy, right. Yeah, okay,
I'll
cool.
give it to you. Even though I helped you out bad. But
God damn, this is biased.
I was so left field.
Yeah, I thought it's you like, might what? Know. I don't know American shit, man. I thought you loved me.
That's not part of our American culture. We don't watch race cars.
Yeah. Right. This one might be. Question three. Which NFL quarterback has the most touchdowns? You got to know this.
Joe Montana?
No. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
The most touchdowns?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
That would be like
I don't watch football that much. My son might be mad at me.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't worry. You're on 2 points. Question 10 is worth 10. So you could get on the leaderboard. You just have to pick the right category. So my question is in music.
Get this right, please. So that we can put you on the leaderboard. Ooh. And they'll be like, Jim Jones was there.
What's your category?
Shoot, whatever you're gonna get right. No, I'm joking. My category is music. Music.
Okay, mine is on TV.
I'm definitely not doing TV. Let's go with music.
Music.
Okay, cool. So
cool one, yeah?
Yeah, Fred.
Who has the most expensive music video ever?
Busta Rhymes.
He was on the list, but that Michael Jackson.
You thinking Janet Jackson and Busta Rhymes,
innit? I thought you meant rap.
Oh.
I Busta Rhymes, you can Google it. Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, and Janet Jackson, right?
Yeah.
That gonna make that tune was crazy.
They're on the list.
Most expensive rap video ever. Mm.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What's your
but Michael Jackson did the shit with the Egypt shit and all that shit.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it was the Scream one with Janet. That was the most expensive. Like,
Scream was crazy as well.
Like 7 million, I think.
Yeah, MTV used to do all that kind of stuff.
Crazy budget.
What was your question?
Busta Rhymes with Janet Jackson, his video. That was the other video that was the most expensive. Mm. That was like 4 million or something.
Yeah, it was stupid. My question was, what country is the singer Sampha from?
Who?
Sampha.
Who is that? I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah, you know.
I don't be knowing who these people from other countries are. So I was at a dinner, a Casablanca dinner in Paris, and I got to meet Fally Poopa. That's his name. That's
Poppy. Oh, Fally Poopa.
No. That's
Fally Poopa, African. Oh.
Yeah. Super, super big. Yeah, huge. He was doing
super big, like
where's
Celine Dion type shit, like dumb big, 80,000 people.
He's like Congolese or something like that.
Congolese.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. I'm not familiar with him, but I'm always kind of people and things like that. And then I just was watching the room and watching how people was
responding to him.
Yeah, like I'm like.
Who is this?
This guy's like, somebody.
Somebody was like telling me, like, yeah, you know, African artists like DeVito and all that. He's in a his shit is different.
Because
he's not singing his music is like I don't know if it's traditional African music. But it's not like the DeVito type of music. Feel good. I got like it's just and it'd be so many people singing. It's just like I don't be so whoever you talking about. I need to do some research on.
Oh,
I definitely don't know who you talking about.
So Sampha is on Drake's tune. You know, don't think about it too much. Mm-hmm. Too much. That one. He's the one that sings that.
See, and where's he from?
He's from the UK.
See.
Is he?
He's from the UK.
I thought he was from here.
Yeah, he's from the UK,
Labyrinth,
bro.
Too, UK boy, innit?
Yeah. Labyrinth, UK.
I know Labyrinth.
UK, indeed.
When you was in Paris, did you know who Ronaldinho was?
Who's that?
Mm.
So you was at the Kid Super fashion
show. Oh, you mean the football?
Yeah, okay, because...
You got an accent, so when you say it, American people say it, it's different. But yeah, I know he was coming up. He's one of the most famous soccer players ever. Like, you know, when you that big on a commercial scale, like some things, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like Beckham.
It's like, yo, of course. Mm. Like Maradona, you don't... Like, it's like...
Yeah.
Because, internet went crazy for that. That was like Jim Giggs.
It was...
Yeah, that was crazy.
Dope to me that he knew who I was when we was in the club.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was like, what?
Me?
Yeah.
Crazy shit. I was definitely incredible. And then how many people were damn near fainting? They was damn near falling out when they seen him.
Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
He's
a
super, superstar,
but,
man.
But, you know, that's basketball of that side of the world.
Facts.
Football players are the biggest thing. They like Michael Jordan and all that over there. Mm-hmm. So to be there in Paris and see how the people react to that level of stardom was dope.
Yeah. Damn.
We're going to sneak Jim's name on the board regardless.
No. You got it right. Yeah.
That don't mean shit.
Yeah, you got it right.
Appreciate you for coming through, man. That's crazy, man. First time in New York, linked up with Jim Jones.
You lot got a mad experience. I had to come here 4 times before I met Jim. I was at Amy Roof's looking for him and
I'm going to tell you the truth, though. You need to thank Tuma.
Yeah, most definitely.
I don't do interviews like
for
that.
Sure.
I don't know if I told you and shit like this. So
nah, he told you.
Tuma didn't call me. I definitely wasn't coming.
I do want you to shout out.
Like, seriously. Like,
nah, I know.
Tuma did not call me. No? I wasn't coming.
I know.
I got a special respect for Tuma. Like, you did. Like,
that's it. Well, that's like, it. We're connected into the right people.
One quick spot to get a good chopped cheese from.
The original spot is on 110th and First Avenue, and there's so many people that would differ that, but that's the first spot I went to in first grade, 82, 83, that was the first spot that I went to for chopped cheese. It's called Haji's.
And it's still there?
Yeah.
So is it safe to go there? 110th
Street and First Avenue. So go get the sandwich, the Uber. Tell Uber, keep the Uber on hold.
Yeah, keep
get
it running.
Get out.
Keep it running.
Run inside. Haji. Order the sandwich, get chopped cheese.
Yeah.
I love that.
We'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there tomorrow. Tem?
Yeah, bro. Thank you, man. Thank appreciate you. It. Yeah, this is a pinch me moment. Been listening to you for a long time, so it's sick to have you here. It's
been a good interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Guys out there in London that want to really try to bring Jim Jones or maybe the Dipset.
Yeah.
I figure some things out.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love to come to London.
Yeah, we could talk to some people.
Yeah, no, you got love out there.
Too. Maybe he can help us out with that.
Yeah, for sure. Other than that, you know the theory, bro.
Nice, baby. Crazy.
Cool.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.